Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Have you noticed the drought in some areas in America? It's pouring down rain, and some other areas in America it's just dried up. And our food, most of our food comes from a great distance away. I forget, we'll talk more about how far it comes away, but most of, I think 25% of our produce is grown in the state of California. The breadbasket, like Iowa, they're struggling with acquiring food and growing food. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at this.
The carefree days of summer, a time for ice cream and dips in the pool. But for millions of American children, these days are far from carefree. When school lets out, hunger can become a reality.
For every 7 kids getting a free or reduced price lunch, only about 1 gets a meal during the summer. So that's a huge gap in terms of participation.
Parents must find creative ways to fill that gap.
When you think about a family's food budget, or family's budget in general, you have your rent or your mortgage, you have your utilities, your transportation costs. These are fixed costs, whereas a food budget is really one of the more flexible parts of the budget.
Leaving parents with a difficult question: pay bills or cut back on groceries? Many turn to the government, which provides a lot of food, but leaves some big gaps. According to Christine Melendez of Bread for the World, the U.S. fills about 19 of every 20 food bags going to needy families. While its summer meal programs reach a lot of city kids, it can leave children in rural areas behind. A recent White House report reveals 1.5 million rural children live in poverty. Case in point, Iowa, middle of the nation's breadbasket, where 1 in 5 children often go hungry.
Iowa is usually known as the political capital of the world, but it could now be known, potentially, as the hunger fighting capital of the world.
Meet Susan Bunns and Christina Zink, two women from different organizations taking up the same fight, ending hunger in Iowa. Bunns enters the battle without government assistance through Meals from the Heartland. The nonprofit Christian organization packages meals for children all over the world. Last year, they provided more than 10 million.
So this is our packaging area. We can have 120 people in here at a time packaging meals. Usually what you'd have is 10 people at each ends of these table. They box at the end. We generally figure that a group of 10 can do 2,000 meals an hour.
Many of those meals are needed right here in Iowa, a fact that surprises outsiders.
There's these gaps and holes, just like any other place, where there's a need for food that isn't being met. Yeah. Why it happens or how you correct it, I'm not sure. Yeah. Our problem is there are kids and adults and elderly, and we leave out the elderly a lot, that need meals.
Getting those meals into hungry bellies takes a team effort. First stop is a supply place like the Food Bank of Iowa. This is where Zink steps in.
Our clients are definitely working. 60% work full-time, and of that 60%, 19% work over 40 hours. But hunger really doesn't discriminate, and it takes just one incident to put you at risk. It could be a car repair, a medical emergency, the loss of a job. And it's really not just in the metro either. We have a large rural population that has a lack of resources that we're trying to reach out to.
Through a new initiative, the Food Bank focuses on getting food to some of those rural areas. Zink says partnering with Christian organizations and other agencies helps get food across the state.
It's definitely important for organizations like the Food Bank and our partner agencies and our program partners. We really couldn't do it without them. It really does take a community. And without some of the government support that's on the line right now, it'll take even more of that effort of individual and corporate support to help us feed people.
Effort that comes from groups like CBN's Operation Blessing. The Operation Blessing Hunger Strike Force has a fleet of trucks that distributes food and supplies to needy people. Last year, they delivered 64 million pounds of food and supplies to community-based partners. These partners then work with local food pantries to help get food to hungry families. Even with Christian groups and the U.S. government leading the way, the need remains, says Melendez.
But we can't food bank our way out of hunger. We also can't food stamp our way out of hunger. We're not going to end hunger until we address those kind of root causes. Why is it that families are hungry?
It's a question that remains to be answered. and a reminder that childhood hunger can affect anyone and will take everyone's help to solve. David Brody, CBN News, in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's so important when you think about, you know, during the summertime, how the church should just kind of rise and be able to meet that particular need. But the question we ask ourselves is, why would a family's life be like that so that during the summertime, they have no, they're not creating enough revenue, enough income to be able to feed themselves? And it's like, what's happening in America that could create such a shortage? And it makes me think about this drought that's going on. As a matter of fact, I believe it's Governor Brown talking about out of California. Let's take a look.
A historic drought in California is confronting authorities with the worst water shortage in more than a century. The parched state has seen little to no rain this year, affecting residents, farmers, and soon possibly even the rest of the country. Caitlin Burke reports.
California is running out of water. Parched fields, starving livestock, and near empty water reservoirs led Governor Jerry Brown to declare a drought emergency. That was 2 weeks ago. And today, still no rain.
Simply put, there's not enough water to go around.
On Friday, state officials announced there's no water left in the main distribution system, and they won't be delivering any water to local agencies this year. Instead, those users will have to rely on other supplies.
Today's actions mean that everyone, farmers, fish, people in our cities and towns, will get less water as a result. But these actions will protect us all better in the long run.
The move affects more than 25 million people, most notably California's farmers.
The citrus belt, the grapes, the nuts, all of them is the east side. When you take them to zero water allocation, which is what's going to happen here, it's going to be a major crisis for those cities.
The impact could spread across the country, pinching the nation's food supply.
This year, we'll see maybe a little less product or maybe a little smaller. If we have another year like this, though, it will be a tragedy.
California has already experienced 3 years of below normal rain and snow. Now, 17 communities and water districts are within 100 days of completely running out of water. Governor Jerry Brown is asking everyone to do their part to conserve.
Don't flush more than you have to. Don't shower longer than you need to. And turn the water off when you're shaving or brushing your teeth.
Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
This is so important because, you know, quite often you think about the children that are already going hungry under the present food supplies. And then you think about what's taking place in California. You think about the number of years it takes to recover. And we're going to talk about when we get back from the break that it takes 2 years for things to kick in, consequences from different things that are taking place. And if it takes 2 years, you're 2 years already into that reality. And we're going to talk about a prophecy given by John Paul Jackson and some very specific things that we don't even know about. Did you know that our food, most of our food probably comes from about 500 maybe miles away from us, maybe 200. We'll talk more specific after the break. But sometimes we just assume it comes from the supermarket. It comes from their local grocery store. But actually, trucks bring that there, as we saw the trucks of Operation Blessing bring in food. And the question is, where are they bringing that food from? And in that state where it's being grown, is there a water shortage in there? And what are we going to do with a huge food shortage and drought? And who causes it to rain? And where does the food come from anyway?
You think about, this is so wonderful watching how, you know, Christian organizations and organizations are thinking about outside of government how to meet needs. And some of the most important things that we're going to need to get back to is being there for our neighbor. You know, love thy neighbor, right? The great concept, the Good Samaritan. And but if we're having these kind of food shortages now, when we're starting to watch droughts that take place, like in California, for example, what are some of the foods that come out of California that we eat every day in America?
Well, it's amazing because you'd be surprised to find out how many they are. For instance, broccoli travels about 2,000 miles across the country from California.
So, but some people are not, you know, broccoli, I mean, how many people are going to be concerned about broccoli? I'm a broccoli.
Broccoli's delicious.
Yes, it is.
How about carrots come from California, 1,700 miles away.
So now if California's experiencing this drought, then the carrots that you presently are eating, that you'll miss it.
Absolutely.
It won't be there.
How about nuts? 99% of, actually, walnuts come from California.
99%. They say that the growing is, the soil is so good, the climate is so good, you can grow anything in California.
Anything. In fact, almonds, which many of us love, 600 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of almonds. That's why they're so expensive, probably. But 600 gallons of water per pound.
Pat eats a lot of almonds.
Well, hey.
I didn't realize what I was consuming for.
Consuming a lot there.
I'm shocked. Oh. I say that again?
Takes 600 gallons to produce 1 pound of almonds. He's having a moment. Yes. Well, you have to go shopping more. You got to see how much these things cost. Almonds are expensive.
Wow. Okay.
Plums. 97% of the plums that we enjoy come from California.
But California's experiencing drought. So you're saying that these foods were at risk.
Huge risk.
What was the prophecy? Wasn't there a prophecy given by John Paul Jackson? We probably could hear it, I think. What was the prophecy that he gave?
John Paul Jackson's prophecy in The Perfect Storm.
Let's hear it. We have it.
And water from some of your faucets will be more expensive than oil.
So there's a prophecy given. Read the prophecy.
Yes, this is a prophecy from John Paul Jackson's Perfect Storm. And this was delivered back, I believe, in 2008. But this is what he heard from the Lord. He says, in time, water will be more expensive than oil, and cities will evacuate thousands because there's not enough water to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. And then he gives us a scripture reference that I think is so important. Amos 4:7 says.
Say it again. I say the whole thing again.
Let me read it again.
This is huge because it's happening as we're speaking.
Yeah. In time, water will be more expensive than oil.
No, wait a minute. The oil that we put in our cars.
Yes.
That water would be more expensive.
More expensive. And cities, listen to this, cities will have to evacuate thousands because there's not enough water to meet their needs.
Well, there is no water, they're saying, in California. They're going down, drilling deep, deep, deep down to sucking areas of water out to water crops. And they know that they're actually taking away this is the in case of problem water, and watering the crops, which means... And they're taking images now from a satellite to measure how much water is in a soil. And it's kind of helping out the camera so it actually get you in the picture. And they can tell from the sky that it's totally drying up. California's drying up. India's drying up. Parts of China's drying up. All these water tables are drying up. And... this is serious stuff. If you suck that thing dry, and so then you think about oil. Imagine what's fuel cost. I mean,
right now you're looking at what, $2.65, depending what part of the country you live in
per gallon.
You know, oil's selling at $50 a barrel right now because it's low, but still.
You imagine a barrel of water is $50-$55 a barrel, and.
That's nuts. I mean, and
nuts.
This is,
well, take yeah, a lot of water, yeah, yeah.
Right? They take 600
gallons.
Those are
totally off the table, right? Totally.
But this is of great concern, and it makes me think about what Amos 4:7 says. I made it rain on one city. This is God speaking, and I withheld rain from another city.
Yes.
And you think about, what's happening in Cal? There's no water. You can't live without water.
Well, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says they're debating over, what are men doing?
Right.
And one particular man, his name was Apollos, but they're just basically thinking men are the one that causes things to grow and happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells them, he says, what are men? Yeah. One man plants, another man waters, but it's only God who causes things to grow. So when things aren't growing, we can pour water on the ground all we want to. We can put seed in the ground all we want to. But when the water is stopping and the food is not being provided, there is a remedy for that.
Yeah, that speaks on so many levels, but it's so true.
Yeah, there's a remedy for that. And this thing about 2 years, you have that where, talking about it takes 2 years for it actually to begin to affect.
Yeah, in fact, we've spoken about this before on the program, and I don't know if you knew this, but 2% of the population produces food for the rest of the other 98% of our population. So that's a talk about how fragile our food system is. Nobody wants to be in the farming industry anymore. They don't want to raise crops, but this is what the report says. Because of the commodities trading, which is basically purchasing futures on the stock market for projected foods that will be grown by our farmers, It gives us an approximately 2-year lag in feeling a dramatic changes in food prices, which will only happen if there is a sustained trajectory in the change of food prices.
Oh, this is what we were prophesying 2 years ago.
Yes.
It's just 2 years,
yes,
right?
Yes, 2 years ago we were sharing this.
And now it's happening today.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, once you're 2 years into something, it takes many years to come out of. You can't just.
Yeah. I mean, you got to grow this stuff. This is not miracle stuff comes out of the ground. 1, 2, 3, you have to grow it.
Yeah, and some of the prophecy, too, of John Paul Jackson was talking about that the southwestern United States and cities and just this shortage of water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, men think the answer to the shortage of water is to just, you know, end the life of men. It's interesting that the one that says to end the life never says, why don't you just end your life? Yeah, why you got to end our life? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The answer is never take, you know, William Shatner, Star Trek, you know, a lot of people is a fan of that guy. And so, but he was actually on radio talking about, he thinks that the population needs to be thinned out.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like. Have you seen him? He needs to be.
Did he volunteer?
No,
did he volunteer?
He just thought there needs to be less people on the earth, and it's like. But the answer is not all of that. The answer is this. This is the reports off of the Blaze, was that if you take just Maui,
which is an island,
you take all 7 billion, everybody right now that's on the face of the earth, every human being, they can fit shoulder to shoulder in Maui. All of us could fit
in Hawaii.
It wouldn't be comfortable. Is that Hawaii?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's Maui, though, which is a specific smaller land. And then you can fit on that one place, which leaves the entire globe empty.
Wow.
And so the answer is not, you know, we need, like, oh, my goodness, we got to, you know, people have to die off. They were saying things like, you know, they were in the 70s that we should have never ended smallpox because that was the way of thinning out the you know, making more.
The foolishness of men, I'll tell you, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And so what I think about is I think about that this is what God told Solomon. This is what he told him. He said, listen, you know, since I'm the one that creates rain, you know, you can water, you can plant all you want to, but it's actually me who causes things to grow. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people that are frustrated because they're trying to do everything to cause their business to grow, their ministry to grow, their life to grow.
Yeah.
And they're pouring water all over it. They're actually throwing seed at it. They got like little memory cards on their dashboard. They're trying to just make things happen, you know? Seriously.
Yeah.
And they feel so bad. They're beat down. They don't realize, like, God is the one that does this.
Yeah.
I mean, God is the one that does this. It's to turn to him, right? Mm-hmm. And so in 2 Chronicles, he talks about it to Solomon. He said this. He said very specifically in chapter 7, he said, this is the Lord talking. He said, I have heard you pray and you've chosen a place for my dwelling. He says, when I, which is God, shut up the heavens so that it doesn't rain.
Hmm.
There's no rain. Just this week, it was a huge drought in Texas. The soil was just packed to the tee. Hardened out for no, and people were praying and crying out for rain for Texas, and the rain came down that over 8 inches of rain covered the entire landmass of Texas. They said it could have been covered, and it was higher than 8. But the last measurement was you could have covered it with 8 inches of water. So much rain came down and caused, you know, great havoc when it came down. Yeah, floods. It was just tragic. But God is the one that releases the rain. He says, when I shut up heaven so there's no rain, or I command locusts to devour your business and your land or your food. We're talking about food shortages.
Talk about signs in the heavens. I mean,
yes.
This is about getting our attention.
Yes.
No water. What's going on? Right?
Yes. And he says, and I sent a plague amongst my people.
Hmm.
You know, consider hardship as discipline. I'm treating you as a son. I mean, he talks about that. And so understanding that, that God loves us and he wants us to, and so hardship happens to bring us to a place at a certain time. Not all hardship, but hardship does. This is what he says. He says, when I set up the heaven so there's no rain, command locusts to devour the land or send plague amongst my people, if my people will flush the toilet less. Huh. That's what he said. Yeah. Didn't the governor just say, flush the toilet less? Yeah. If my people will learn how to package food in a more economical way, no. if my people will go down to the lower reservoir to drill out water and suck it dry to pour it on your almonds. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
He says, if my people who are called by my name, God causes things to grow. He's holding the whole earth together. You can't run out of source if God is your source, but if we just turn to the creation instead of the creator, it's going to dry up. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and I will cause water to be in your reservoirs.
Wow.
You know, I will forgive your sin, which that's what causes this, and I will heal your land. And I'm telling you, when we get back from the break, we want to talk about this because I really believe this natural drought is a sign of a spiritual drought. And if we, as God's people, will respond like God is saying, then everybody will drink water. I mean, we won't need trucks to drive food 10,000 miles away because I'm telling you, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he can touch our economy, and major things can break loose instead of, I guess, flushing your toilet. You know, I think about, you know, drought, what happens in the natural, what happens in the spiritual manifest in the natural. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you think about what we saw in Texas, and I was pondering this, and I wish we had some footage for you, but, you know, for so long, it was just so dry. I mean, Texas in general seems dry, but when it's dry, it's dry. They don't even build their fences out of wood. They build their fences out of brick.
Really?
Yes, because if you put a privacy fence up, it would just shrivel up.
Really?
Picket fence wasn't built that way. It turns into a picket fence.
Okay.
Yeah. It's real. I mean, it's like everything's brick here. You wonder why, you know, you look at the motifs from those areas and the houses. It's because it has to be built out of that material so it survives.
Wow, that's
the heat.
Interesting.
And so now imagine a drought on top of that. And there's slabs cracking and all these different things taking place. So here you are. You're going through this drought and you're just, you know, praying, dear God, you know, we need, and think about this. If our food wasn't grown, you know, 1,000 miles away from us, then we would understand better that if it doesn't rain this week, we don't have any grapes. We don't have any grass that the cows eat. That's where burgers come from, kids. It comes from cows.
No almonds.
And since your cows are not kept in your back property, they're kept in Texas or they're kept in, you know, Wyoming, or your food is grown in California. Now you have to consider that's your backyard. That's your backyard. And so here's Texas. They're crying out, you know, praying for rain to come.
California.
Obviously, California. No, Texas. And suddenly this downpour of rain just comes and it just starts pouring and pouring and pouring. Some of the measurements were you could cover the entire state, and Texas is huge. With 8 inches of water.
Wow.
I mean, have you ever driven across Texas?
It's like 2 days to get across.
This is better to drive around. Anyway, so I love Texas. And so, you know, in that, the people weren't prepared for the rain. You're praying for it. You're asking for God to bring rain. You're suffering the consequences of having a drought in the natural sense. And then all of a sudden it rains and you're on vacation and this tragedy takes place with a husband and wife and their children and their dog. And all of a sudden this gushing rain comes down and it just washes away his family. And it's tragic. People die in this thing. Police officers were being washed out in their cruisers and they were flying out police officers by helicopters to be able to get them out of this floods. And it's like, wait a minute. That if God responds to our prayer, will we survive it? Are we even preparing for the rain? So many people just like, you know, when it rains, I'll go out, get some water, pour it on my crop, we'll have grass, cows will eat grass, we'll have a burger. They just logically are thinking they're prepared for it. When all of a sudden this deluge of rain just bursts out of the skies, and Texas is covered with 8+ inches of water if you stacked it all up. And it just can't digest that kind of water. It can't absorb that kind of water. So it's just beginning to wash things. And it was just crazy what was happening in Houston. You know, I think about Kichara and James Bradford. And trees are falling. And just all kinds of things are taking place. Power's going out. And what the Lord's just really laying on my heart as I begin to soak on that is like, You know, I know a lot of people that are joining us in praying for rain.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the natural rain, but the earth is reflecting. The earth is reflecting a dry church.
Wow.
A parched church, a people who need a spiritual rain. You know, let the teachings of Moses rain down on me, that the washing of the word of God that would sanctify me, and that the presence and the power of God. I mean, you think about that. And so you can just start getting just commonplace with that and just go, yeah, you know, it's going to rain one day. Hey, it's going to rain. But not realizing God's going to answer your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready for the outpouring? Are we ready for it? Or all of a sudden, are we just going to be not planning for it? And all of a sudden, this undercurrent begins to happen. There's just great. And it's, I'm telling you, to me, it's going to be an intense, you know, move of God. The river's going to be so strong that if you're not prepared for it, believe it or not, a good thing like water can destroy you.
Yeah, it caused me to think about, you know, we've talked about it before, Joel chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often talk about Joel 2:28, about the outpouring in the last days, but we often forget that Joel chapter 1 represents a land that was barren, where locust upon locust upon locust devoured everything, and it was completely dry. There was no devastation. It was devastation. Nothing grew.
Right.
But then the rain came. Then the outpouring came.
Right.
And that's what we got to believe for, pray for, prepare for, and expect with great faith.
Well, and not only, but preparing for it doesn't mean just sitting there waiting for it to rain, because if you didn't prepare, I mean, after a drought for such a long time, you can forget what it's like to have a river in your community. You can forget what it's like to have a small place to be able to go swimming in, or a well to drink from. So being prepared is important. They weren't prepared. They had no idea that this is going to be the moment that so much rain came from the skies that you couldn't go on vacation, that you had to have your children near you, that you had to have your family near you, that the police officers couldn't ride their vehicles the way. I mean, the interstates were shut down in Houston. I mean, it was just a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
That when God begins to move, I mean, you don't want to miss what he's doing, but also you don't want what happens. I mean, it's the most amazing thing that when God begins to pour out his spirit in such a way, people actually, it washes them out instead of them getting in the river.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Wow.
They didn't choose to do what was right and get healed in their heart. So instead of getting in, they got offended.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it was demanding something from you. And you're thinking, I'm not used to demands being made on me, so I'm not going to. And it's like, what are you talking about? This is the moment. This is God. This is the encounter.
Get in.
And so, you know, I just felt that. And I know that, you know, you've been crying out with a drought in your life, and you're wanting God to pour out his spirit on you. And you just want God to wet those dry areas in your life. I'm telling you, I feel like in my heart that God's just going to pour out in such a way. It's going to be like Texas, Houston was just recently. This is outpouring that's going to happen. You want to brace yourself for it and be ready for it and be expecting it. And I'm telling you, you can get the most. I mean, just no telling, you know, what you'll benefit from when you understand God answers your prayer in a big way.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.